From unsolved mysteries to unexplained phenomena, from comedy gold to relationship fails, Amazon Music's got the most ad-free top podcasts. Included with Prime. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Hello and welcome to Keep On Cybertruckin', a podcast where Cybertruck owners share their experiences, talk about all things electric vehicles and technology. My name is Eric. We have Chase. We have Will. And before we get into anything else, Will has something very important that he wants to talk about, and he made me start the live a little early.
This is the discussion right now. Okay, you know what the best movie? It came out, I think, in 2023. The best movie of the year was Cocaine Bear, because we were talking about. We made a very simple elevator pitch for a new movie called Cocaine Raccoon, but that's not important, because if you're watching this podcast, please go and rent and give a chance to Cocaine Bear, because there's just something deeply healing about that movie. It's the movie that we all need right now with all the chaos going on. Really, you just kind of need to see the absurdity of a bear like just completely hopped up on cocaine, and it's a mama bear. The bear's got like two cubs, so it's like a family film. So it's not a family film in any way. Do not take your family to it.
Yeah, you gotta watch that.
That's fantastic. Elizabeth Banks has a great sense of humor. Watch Cocaine Bear. And now about the Tesla Cybertruck. Slow segue.
Well, we can't just leave the audience like that. We have to explain why this came up. So
yeah, that's true.
You know, what happened was we were all talking before we jumped online, and we were talking about how Chase unfortunately killed something with the Cybertruck, and so I'm gonna put it up here.
Absolutely murdered a frog, and apparently it was a local frog that I actually saw the night before, and murdered it in the morning. Didn't realize it until we got back, and then literally that night. I didn't take a picture of this one, obviously, but I found a massive shit from raccoon that I also saw around the neighborhood.
Wow.
Recently on our front doorstep, so trying to send a message. So apparently the frog was friends with the raccoon. So
yeah, the raccoons were sending a message, and then somebody had mentioned, you know,
you took raccoon. One of them out, and they're going to take one of you out now.
Mm-hmm. R.I.P.
You have to watch your back now. So
Trash Panda is about to take you out with the trash.
This is a very deadly refrigerator.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
where's Jeremy Judkins to do the test with that? He's like, I got a frag here to close the hatch.
Exactly.
Get his feet in there somehow.
Yeah, influencers. His feet are the one just holding the frog. You're like, what content is this? Jesus.
Well, you saw the video he posted a couple days ago with his nipple out, and he was just like, I just want to know my nipple in a news article. See you.
He's having a good time. Yeah,
it's prime content. This is the reason why Elon bought Twitter. It's for this exact reason.
It may be. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know the insight is.
I want to apologize to the audience, because last week the three of us were really excited about the Tesla shareholder meetings. We even moved our Wednesday, what would be normally our Wednesday going live with the podcast, to Thursday, so that way we can cover all things shareholders. Unfortunately, I was in Florida, and if anybody was paying attention to the news, you know that in Fort Lauderdale, which is where I was at, also Miami, all south of Florida was flooding, and it was chaos. And so, unfortunately, I was trying to get back to California, and I wasn't able to do the podcast. So I just want to apologize, because we were really looking forward to it, and unfortunately, we weren't able to do it because of my situation. And we have a quick little video of somebody who was in Florida.
No coincidence.
Yeah. They were in Florida. They have a Cybertruck, and they captured the chaos. So you can, you can see here. I mean, they're driving through, and I experienced this. I had a rental car, and we were driving through water like this. You know, unfortunately, I even took video of it. My wife was actually taking video, and I mentioned to her in the video, I wish we had the Cybertruck, because I would just raise that thing up, put it in wade mode, and not have to worry about any of this. But obviously, we flew out there, so we just had a rental. But this video is just showing, you know, cars are you know, how many feet do you guys think that is? 2 feet of water?
At least.
Yeah. 2-3 feet of water.
I mean, you look, I don't know if the vehicle's on the side or higher up, but it looks like it comes up right to about mid-wheel, if not a little bit higher, on that white car on the left in that video. So maybe something to go off of. Yeah, so probably down in the water, it's probably deeper.
Actually, if you look at the front camera, so that you know the front camera is
on the bumper. If you look right there.
Yeah.
Mid-wheel for that car.
It's got to be at least like 2 feet, because if you think about it, extract mode is up to like 16 inches. And then if the front bumper's not covered, that's got to be at least 24, but probably not much more than that.
So you were saying right here?
Yeah, the camera? Yeah, where you can see the water's not over the camera just yet. So
Yeah.
Still, and people need to keep in mind, I don't mean to play the newscaster, but it's like Florida is pretty much like within 20 feet of sea level. Like a lot of South Florida, Fort Lauderdale is, it's like a maximum of 13 feet above sea level. I think that might be the highest point in all south of Boca Raton and Tampa and everything. So it's already flat as hell. So you get any kind of water, it's difficult as hell to clear when it stands like that, because it has zero places to go unless there's a lot of runoff channels and stuff. Anybody driven around South Florida, there are retention ponds and runoff canals on the sides of the roads everywhere you go, because they're ready for rain. And even this, you know, kind of outdid it. I feel like this is kind of your textbook. This is a real life situation where a Cybertruck is handy, because it's got Wade mode. It's got all those features.
Yeah.
And this is happening in real time. This isn't influencers going out there to find a pool to go drive through, or a lake in their backyard, or on the beach like some morons do. Like, this is life circumstances, and it's performing. No, I didn't mean you. I mean, you know the videos I'm talking about, people who shouldn't be driving on the beach, you know?
Well, it's all good. I can already hear the comments. Just to play devil's advocate also, if you do notice, there was a photo, I don't have that queued up, but there was a photo of a Cybertruck being towed away also in Fort Lauderdale around the floodwaters. This was not Nicholas, by the way. The guy that we just shared.
Okay,
so it was totally different Cybertruck, different story, total coincidence, and more of a coincidence that Eric was there. So,
yes,
a lot of coincidences.
Yeah, it just happened to be. It was my time. So So once again, apologize to everybody, because you know we were really looking forward to that, and it didn't work out. But we're here now, so we're going to cover everything tonight. One of the first things I wanted to talk about was how the Model Y won the Car of the Year from Auto Trader. So, you know, getting some, obviously we know the Model Y is Tesla's most popular vehicle, but it's one of the safest vehicles. It's a really great family car, and it's showing, you know, given the fact that Auto Trader gave it the Car of the Year. So, congratulations to Tesla Model Y.
I can honestly speak to the utility of this car, because I've had to use my wife's vehicle for work, but I also know other people who do what I do. We carry a lot of equipment with us in the form of a material handling cart and a lot of Pelican or Storm cases. Like a lot of gear comes with us everywhere we go, and a number of people I know have relied on this car for its cargo space. The Model Y has just been like the perfect mix of like that middle spot of price, cargo efficiency, space, simplicity. You know, it's just fantastic. So, I mean, it's like third time's the charm, you know, or not if you didn't count the first Roadster, but it's like Model S, Model X, Model 3 was, but the Model Y, they were just like, all right, no, we made it a little too short here. Here with the Model 3, just easier.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's my sister has one. She loves it. It's a good size. It's not too big. It's not too small. Kind of like what you're saying. It's that perfect for most people. And, you know, it's got the Car of the Year from Auto Trader. And also, on top of that, they also are now the Model Y is the world's best selling vehicle, according to what is that? JTO Dynamics. It looks like they sold over 1.2 million in 2023 the Tesla Model Y. And it goes to show you what people are looking for, because the number two vehicle is the RAV4. Number three is a CRV. Number five is the Corolla Cross Frontlander. They're all that midsize SUV. And so that's just, you know, goes into, you know, the Model Y being a big hit with families.
Yeah. Am I incorrect in saying, yeah, like these are all basically the same form factor, like that midsize crossover SUV. Like these top five, one of them, the Corolla, is a sedan. The rest of them are pretty much that form, you know, four door, not too long, not too short.
Not to discount, also the Model 3 is on that top 10 list as well.
That is true. And you have two trucks on there, the F-150 and the Toyota Hilux. But I think the Cybertruck's going to have something to say about that in a few years. So
yeah, give it a few years. Get wrapped up with production for sure.
Yep, definitely. Speaking of the Cybertruck, they're having a little bit of issues right now. Unfortunately, many future Cybertruck owners are being delayed in taking delivery of the Cybertruck because of a windshield issue. There was speculation that it was the wiper, it was the motor, but I guess what they're saying is that it's a wiper arm issue, and so they've halted all deliveries. Even if your truck is at a delivery center and you had a delivery date, they postponed it, and you're just kind of waiting to take delivery. So another delay, unfortunately, for people. And I know there's a lot of people that, I mean, all three of us, right? We were so anxious to get ours that this would really, you know, be frustrating if I was in somebody's shoes. But, you know, it's something that happens with these new vehicles, and, you know, it sucks.
Yeah, the anecdote that I saw on one of the groups this last week was someone saying that they were supposed to pick it up like the next day, and then they got the message, and it's more like 2 weeks after. So closer to the end of the month, they'll be able to get it.
Yeah, that's what I saw originally. I don't know if it's the same person, but somebody was supposed to pick up the next day, and then all of a sudden they got that message, hey, sorry, you can't come. So hopefully they get this all cleared up and fixed sooner than later and get people their trucks, because it's a fun truck and we want people driving the trucks.
I guess I'm just curious, like, what the actual, I mean, you know, what the actual issue is. It's to do with the windshield wiper arm structure, right? Like the apparatus itself. It wasn't the motor after all, or was it?
Well, so here, I'll read this little snippet from this article. It says, over the weekend, one forum user said Tesla told them the delivery pause was due to the wiper motor, while another said their delivery was pushed back because of the blade. A Reddit user said they were told their delay was due to a windshield wiper arm issue, and deliveries are still being held up, with forum users reporting Monday that Tesla informed them of delays. So it
sounds like even Tesla just told them it's the windshield wiper, and all of the different centers added their own specific, you know, because if it's all of those, then it's none of them, or who knows, you know, it could be anything.
Yeah, and then some random person, not named, says that they're a current owner, just talking about, you know, their wiper woes, saying that their wiper never worked after taking delivery, and it took Tesla 2 weeks to replace the proper parts. So it seems to be an issue that's plaguing the Cybertruck right now.
Interesting. Yeah, it's almost kind of reminiscent of the recall, where it was spotted in live and then jumped on after the fact.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's one of those things where it's really unfortunate, because, like I said, you want people to take delivery of their truck, but at the same time, you know, what do you expect them to do? They got to fix it. They want people to take delivery of their trucks with not having these issues, and it just, for those who were excited because they already had their delivery dates, it sucks. Real quick, goes in the chat saying, good evening, guys. Let's go.
What
so,
up, Hugo?
Thank you, Hugo. He's here every week. Mark's in the chat. What's up, Mark? Him and Will are having a fantastic conversation.
Mark knows where there's some peyote.
So
shout out, Mark.
I don't know if you guys seen, but the Tesla Model 3 is now, if you get the long range version or the performance, now qualifies for the $7,500 federal tax credit.
Yeah, I saw
so,
that came up.
I mean, based on that, we're right here showing the Tesla website. I mean, with all of their, you know, savings that they put in there, you can get a Model 3 for as low as $33,999. You know, long range, a little less than $35,000. Performance at $42,000, which...
And is these numbers are with the... It includes the rebate. Okay.
Yeah, it includes the rebate, and it gives the $5,000 gas savings. So,
I mean,
you can tack on $5,000 to that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's plus $5,000 for the gas savings.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So with the cash, the actual cash will be customized. Fancy.
Yeah, I don't wish you could just wipe that out, but
well, just turn it off, and then you can just like minus $7,500.
Yeah. So like, yeah, right there.
So it's $40,000. Okay.
Yeah. 39. Long range. I mean, if you want to eliminate that gas saving thing, yeah, you're talking about $40,000 for the long range version.
I mean, I'm like just zeroed in on the fact that it's like I'm trying to remember. I'm sure somebody can correct me in the notes or the comments, but you know, everybody Tesla got raked over the coals. Over pitching a Model 3 that would someday be $35,000, and then they had the standard range rear wheel drive only one, and that one looks like so. What is that 38,900 minus $7,500? That's below $35,000.
No, that does not qualify for the $7,500.
Oh, so that doesn't get it. Okay.
No,
but the long range all wheel drive.
Yep.
And that brings you right to $40,000, which compared to when the Model 3 was first being pitched as a possible $35,000 vehicle. In 2018, 6 years later, a $5,000 price increase for something that was, you know, 6 years in the making. I mean, that it sounds like they hit that mark, but no, I haven't heard anybody mention the fact.
I mean, right now, I think the steel in the auto industry is the performance Model 3.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, now that it qualifies for the $7,500 federal tax credit, and you're at a little shade under $55,000. I mean, you're getting it for $47,000 for the performance Model 3.
That's
which
fun.
Yeah, which is a beast of a vehicle. and so it's just that right there. I mean, that's huge, I think. I think they're going to really, really start selling a lot of these. I mean, they already are, but it's going to ramp up because, you know, people are going to want to jump on that tax credit. I know Chase is ordering his right now.
It's really tempting, really it is. But I was going to say that what's I think kind of really impressive too is maybe it's a bad thing, but the used car market is also come down quite a bit. Like I can find right now a 2023 Model 3 with, you know, just over 8,000 miles on it for $33,000.
Yeah.
So I mean, you can definitely get into it, and even a 2023 Model 3 with 50,000 miles for $21,000. Like. It's becoming a more of a reality, I think, that people can get into a Tesla and get into an EV now more so than ever, really. Because I know, even just go back 6 years ago, it was still kind of a luxury kind of thing because of the price point.
Yeah,
and that was always one of the forward speaking points for Tesla folks over the last 10 years has been the idea of their premium price now, and you know they hold their value well to the initial owner, but eventually. We were going to see that flip. It was going to turn into the batteries last, we don't know how long, because we've never had them out there longer than 10 years in the, or 11 years in the fleet. So now they're starting to learn the longevity of the batteries that they made a decade ago. And it turns out that people are like, I can get a Tesla and charge it at home. And I can get a Model S for what? Like, I think people have seen it for like 40,000 or somewhere in that ballpark. I mean, it's hit that, I think, that flipping point where it's like, no, there was always a point to having a used Tesla market that was kind of, I'm sorry for the lack of a better word, inundated, because the idea is the vehicles last, was meant to outlast internal combustion vehicles, and therefore they have a longevity that we're at that point where we're starting to see it, I think.
Let me ask you a question, Will, because I'm not sure if you've sold the X yet, but I know you've had an X, you have a Y. I had a 3. And then I had a S that we just recently sold. And when I was selling the S, I got a lot of people that were inquiring about it, asking me my opinion. And so I'm going to ask you. And the question was, do I recommend, obviously I'm selling a car, so I'm going to be a little biased, but they were asking, mm-hmm. and I'm always going to be honest, I'll tell them the truth, but they would ask me, do you recommend someone buying a used S or buying a new 3? And so the same question I could pose to you is, would you recommend buying a used X or buying a new Y?
I think that there's a lot, I need a lot of nuance usually for whenever I'm being asked things. I'm sure if I ever had to be like deposed by an attorney, they would probably hate their life for an hour or two, but I need more context to that question. So I'm like, okay, you know, is it a person who's got two kids and they need room for the car seats, but also luggage in the back? Then I'd be like, okay, the X might help you out because it's also got Falcon Wing doors, which make getting in and out of the car with your family very, very easy because it creates a nice little rain canopy. It's not even a great canopy, but it's a little bit of help as opposed to getting the door hosed as well as your kid and yourself trying to get everybody into the car. So it really kind of comes down to the needs, I think. I would say this, if you're looking for something that's like a work car, I would say that the Model Y in its minimalist nature and its great range and its great prices, I'd say that the Model Y is a pretty great work vehicle from the sense of the Model X still feels like a luxury vehicle in the inside. You have to do a lot of things to kind of bring it down to an everyday, you know, a used car feel, if that's a thing. But I feel like the Model Y, I mean, you could literally just turn that thing into a box with wheels in a moment's notice, just a toolbox with whatever you're hauling around in it. You know, and then other questions, you know, what's your daily commute look like? Do you give a crap about full self-driving? You know, do you see that as, you know, just a lot of different questions to it. I think the people who are interested mostly in the used X market, it seems to be mostly just they like the X. Like it's such a unique vehicle. Like I can't tell you how many times I've been somewhere and somebody doesn't even talk to me. They just do this. And I'm like, yeah, those are wings. Yeah, what's up? You know, and it starts the whole conversation. It's such an iconic thing that there really aren't any other cars that have that kind of a feature that you could run into any given day at the supermarket. So,
well, there you go.
What was the thing? Something about the camera setup that you said could possibly affect full self driving too with the X? I thought there was something that they did differently.
Yeah, I think from what I had remembered, the hardware 4 when it was first when they brought the hardware 4 in with the newly refreshed S and X, they wound up creating a problem for themselves. I thought you were talking me through that, where it's like the geometry changed slightly, or maybe it was somewhere else, but it was like the camera placement on the refreshed X didn't directly translate through the neural net for what they had trained their own fleet for, so they needed some time to calibrate it, which I think is the same thing that we're experiencing with the Cybertruck full self-driving delay.
Makes sense. Yeah, because I think that's the only thing that kind of comes to mind when you say used Model X. Like, that would be a concern, just to kind of future-proof yourself.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's good to note that for the Model X, when it first released in 2016, it shipped with the Autopilot 1 hardware. So it only had the 3 camera suite and the legacy computer that now we know for certain will never offer autonomous driving. It'll need to be upgraded for a number of reasons. But I think that the 2017 and forward Model X, yeah, they had 8 cameras and at least the media control unit 2 or better. And so, you know, that at least positioned it to be like, okay, it's reasonable that it'll get level 5. And then I think recently I read that they're talking about the full self-driving capability of the legacy X versus their current one. It's a matter of, they think that they'll be able to achieve level 4 for the legacy vehicles, but level 5 will only be guaranteed now at this point for the new S. So,
all right. Well, I think, well, thank you. Well, I appreciate you kind of answering my question.
Sorry.
But let's get into the meat and potatoes. Tesla had their annual shareholders meeting last Thursday, and the big topic was, were the shareholders going to vote and approve Elon Musk's $56 billion pay package? And it was an overwhelming yes, I believe, to the tune of about, what was it, 72%, I think it was. And so Mr. Musk is staying on. We don't need to speculate whether if they was going to get denied, whether he was going to step down as CEO, if he was going to leave. We now know that he's getting paid and he's more than likely staying on, and Tesla will continue doing Tesla things, and Elon will continue to do Elon things. So, what do you guys think? How do you guys feel about the approval?
Will's got a loaded response, but I'll go pretty quick and just say that. I think it's an okay thing. Like, I don't think it's like bad. I don't think it's really great. I think if anything, it's just I was more worried that the vote was going to be no, and the company as a whole would be like shuddering from it.
And I think it would have, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I believe that it would have. I don't think Tesla is Tesla without Elon.
Yeah.
That's just my personal opinion.
I think that there, like I said before for the previous question, I think that there's a lot of nuance to what happened. And, you know, there are people who are more versed in finance than me, way more versed than I am, who will comment. But I think that at its surface level, I can see investors looking at that, you know, this watershed moment of do we incorporate in Texas per the instructions of what the company and the board of directors and everybody's encouraging? And do we also agree to basically pledge the new payout for Musk, however they have to do it, or I guess they still have to come up with specifics for it. I think that it could just be as simple as coming down to this moment in time when there's so many question marks about what's happening with Tesla that a lot of investors might have just been like, no reason to shake the tree right now. You know, it's like we know that there's other products coming. He's made us money up until this point. The company, when I first invested 2, 3, 5, 8 years ago, there's plenty of those investors who were like, he made me bank, paid off my house, thanks to that guy. So you know what? I'm fine with whatever the direction is, you know, or I think it could be as simple as that. Just, you know, why shake the tree at this point? If something's going to change, let it happen, not because of these agreements that we made in the past or our executive guidance saying reincorporate in Texas because it'll be the best for us.
In the after party, I got to meet a lot of holders that were holding since, you know, 2012, 2013, 14, around that area too. So people have been definitely invested for quite a bit.
See, Chase does this every week. You know, he has to just throw in there very subtly. He was at the after party.
He's like, so I was driving by the factory.
Yeah, you know, Elon was on the side of the road with his thumb up.
Elon was out there, and I'm like, you, this guy. Happens
stopped,
every Tuesday.
Picked him up, and we went and got a cold beer. So.
Well, I think it was kind of funny, though, that during the Q&A towards the end, Anterbeck got up and mentioned, he was like, oh, yeah, by the way, there's the after party, and said where it was. Like after that, I'm like,
uh-oh.
I was literally listening to it at home. I'm like, oh, maybe I should hit the road and try to beat some of the traffic.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was kind of cool. It was cool to see. Like, got to meet, you know, other Tesla fanatics from around the world, around the country. I obviously kind of like run into a lot of like your favorite Tesla influencers on X. You might see Tesla Joy. She was great. Keegan, shout out, he was really excited to test drive the Cybertruck. He was looking at it and he was like, is there any way, like, I know you like rent it out and everything, I'll pay you, like, is there any way I can just like drive around the block? I'm like, of course, like, you're nice enough, like, you can drive it around the block. So we took a stroll around and got stuck behind one of those bike pedal bars. You know what I'm talking about? Like the big, like...
Oh, yeah.
Like you have a bunch of people sitting around in a circle, like, pedaling.
Yeah. And it's, and everybody pedals to keep the car moving. Yeah.
So we had a great Cybertruck drive experience at 5 miles an hour.
Awesome. So they really show the power of the Cybertruck, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. I got to meet the famous Chuck from Chuck's Left Turn, who did get a shout out during the meeting. So that was really cool. He's really nice. It was cool. Cool to see everybody and say hey.
Well, Chase, you're rubbing shoulders with all these guys. We need you to get a shout out to the podcast. How about that?
I definitely do what I can. Yeah.
Yeah.
Get people, some people on. I'm sure people would.
That's what we got to do. So part of the, you know, smaller portion of the Tesla shareholder meetings, and I guess part of the approvals and voting process is the fact that Kimball Musk was officially reelected to a 3-year term to be on the board of directors. So that was something that was swirling around whether or not he was even going to be reelected. And so he was. And so congratulations to him. And, you know, it's part of the news.
That's cool. I think it's only controversial, obviously, because of being related. But
yeah, exactly. Well, that's the thing, right? If it, they could have approved Elon, but what if they didn't reelect Kimball? You know, it's just one of those kind of weird scenarios. And so I just thought it would be interesting to show that they did reelect him. Another thing that was talked about was the fact that I guess the Cybertruck is up to, what, 1,300 units per week is what the production's looking like. So that's a positive. I remember way back when with the Model 3, they started ramping up, and then I think it kind of came down some, if I remember correctly. I think there was a small portion where Elon was sleeping at the factory where production was going downwards. So it's nice to see that we haven't heard anything like that yet. It's continuing to go up. I think they even mentioned that they want to get to, what, 2,500 by the end of the year per week. So that's encouraging.
Well, full speed is what we did the math with, like 3,800 per week to get up to that 200,000 unit per year kind of mark.
Yeah, so that's what they need to get to, 3,800.
Not to mention Foundation Series, kind of confirmation that next quarter it's going to be up. So
yeah, so that's something, yeah, I definitely was going to talk about that. You know, so they're saying that at the end of this quarter, do we know when the actual quarter ends for Tesla?
I thought it was the end of this month.
I think it's
July 1st or June 30th, midnight or whatever it is.
June 30th.
Okay, so yeah, what they're saying is that Cybertruck's Foundation Series will end officially at the end of this quarter, and so starting next quarter, you can start to order and take delivery of your Cybertruck that's non-Foundation Series and saving people that $20,000 that I know a lot of
now,
people are upset about.
Here's a curiosity that I'm not sure, obviously Tesla hasn't said anything because Tesla doesn't talk, but what if they're prepared to be selling the Foundation Series and the non-Foundation simultaneously?
That's interesting.
Because, I mean, the vehicles themselves are not intrinsically different. The VIN numbers aren't registered differently. The in-vehicle features don't vary from the other manufactured vehicles. There's no hardware difference. The only difference is the badging is the only physical change, I think.
And
then
interior,
accessories. Maybe? Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, the interior badging, but otherwise, I think all the profile, all the lines stay the same.
Yeah.
Except for the Cyber Beast has that, you know, that's the only difference is the all wheel drive and the Cyber Beast have the different interior upholstery.
Now, it does say on this post, it says Elon says Tesla will end Cybertruck Foundation Series production soon.
Yeah.
And that regular non-Foundation Cybertruck production will start next quarter.
So this is the kind of doublespeak that I, as a person that probably lawyers hate, I'm like, all right, so I don't see. So what I just said, I don't see it being in conflict with this, because it's very possible that they could end the production of, you know, Foundation Series production soon and also start regular non-Foundation Cybertruck sales next quarter.
I caught that when I read it. Because what I originally stated was the fact that it was ending at the end of this quarter. That's not what it says. It says production is ending soon.
Yeah.
So that means there could be an overlap. And I think you're 100% right. I think there will be overlap.
I think we're starting to learn. All of us are learning to speak Elon. It's been a journey for everybody. Everybody's always been like, he says it'll come out August 1st. The immediate answer is he didn't say which year. So...
yeah.
Anything is possible. You got to look for every nook and cranny in what they say to be like, aha.
Well, think about the first time you watched Star Wars and you heard Yoda speak, right? And you were like, wait. And then you kind of took you a little bit and then you figured out, okay, this is just the way he talks. Okay. Now I got it. So yeah, that's Elon. So
yeah, it's literally putting it through the Elon translator at all times. You need to understand that what he says, you may not be able to set your clock to. Generally, everything's been delivered, but some of it's been a few weeks late or still on the way. Wink, full self-drive. So.
My guesstimates, this should be about roughly like the first 20,000 units are quote-unquote Foundation Series.
Yeah. We were hoping it was going to be 1,000, but yeah.
Yeah, 1,000, 10,000, then yeah. Right. Yeah, but I can see having them built and sit in those lots and get just ready for if someone comes along late in the year is like, hey, no, actually, I would want to do Foundation because now you're seeing the value of it. Because we don't know what... Like, we don't know what the non-Foundation Series is going to look like. I would guess that they put those street tires on it with the ugly-ass wheels, and then they somehow rip out the cool stuff in the interior. Because we still don't know what the premium interior meant. Like, if it's just white leather, or is it all of it?
Keep in mind, also, that they're still talking, they're still struggling to get FSD 12.4 out, or 12.4.1 beyond everybody, and everybody remembers 12.5 allegedly is when full self-driving comes to the Cybertruck. So yep. It's like,
exactly.
Okay, so what's going to happen first and in what order? Because I'm still curious, when the non-Foundation Series comes and you buy full self-driving for it, what's that price going to be?
Yeah. And it's going to go up. I know they reduced the price recently, but it's going to go up.
Oh, for sure.
I think that them getting the 12.5 and demonstrating the viability of Dojo, Neural Net, whatever, in the ability to be like, hey, we built this car, engineered it completely like no other car that we make, and we were able to get full self-driving onto it in 6 months, whereas previous vehicles took significantly longer. I mean, that's just more positing themselves to be like, yeah, and now we're almost ready to start licensing to other vehicle manufacturers because we can guarantee a time frame for adapting full self-drive to their cars, assuming that certain things match in the specs, I guess.
Pat ourselves on the back, because a few months ago when we were speculating, we were also saying that when they finally release full self-driving to the Cybertruck is probably when they're going to dump the Foundation Series at the same time. It seems to be happening as we speak. So hopefully we'll see you next month what happens. But no, it's still good.
Yeah. And I think at that point, I think they're going to get flooded with orders, because I know a lot of people are holding on to those emails, just waiting for the ability to actually go through with the non-Foundation and get it sooner than later. Real quick, we have Jay in the chat. We always have to say what's up to Jay. So Jay, thank you for coming back each and every week. We appreciate you so much. We do have a question. It says, hello, Mr. Butter, William, and Chase. Do you think FSD will ever be included? Yeah.
Sorry.
I'm a Mr. Butter. You're just William and Chase, okay? Do you think FSD will ever be included for free in Teslas, like how Autopilot is now included?
I think that the pregnant pause that we're all having right now is the fact that we've all seen full self-drive long enough. We've seen the promises and the almost there, and then the more promises and then almost there. And so I think that the only time that full self-driving would come to a price point that maybe they just start including it in the price of all Teslas somewhere down the road, but they still have the subscription thing. So I don't even know if they would do that much. I don't think that it'll ever be free. I
think it's a great add-on So we've seen, right? There's potential lawsuits, and there's all these type of issues that people are going after Elon for misleading people, saying, oh, FSD, and then people are going, it's never going to come. It hasn't come. Mm-hmm. But it's a moneymaker, right? Let's call it what it is. It's a carrot that they're throwing out there. They're putting it in front of our faces, and they're going, hey, it's going to come out. And when it comes out, it's going to be amazing. You're going to want it. Buy it now, because if you don't buy it now, you're going to regret it, because it's going to increase. The price is going to increase. And so you need to get it now. And that's what people are doing. They're going and getting it because they see the potential in it. And I see the potential in it. When it's going to actually happen, we shall see, right? August 8th, I believe, is coming very quick. So I don't think they'll ever get rid of it as an extra add-on line item. If anything, if they were to do that, it's like what Will said, they're just going to build it into the price. And now you're going to be forced to get it either way. So
yeah, it's you know, like the changeover happened where people were like, you know, you got to pay extra for air conditioning. Now everybody gets air conditioning. You're still paying for it, but you get it. It just comes with it.
Into the cost.
Yeah, you don't get to choose.
But, which is interesting. They on stage, they actually kind of teased a little bit of what they're going to talk about with the robotaxis, about the fact that it is an app that would kind of work both as like Uber or Airbnb.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the general public is going to start to see, you know, these, you know, or at least have experience with full self-driving, I think, in mass, hopefully, before they even buy a Tesla. Mm-hmm. So I think that might be a hope, too, is that it's going to help sell it. Because if you select the app and you have some Joe Schmoe's like Model 3 come up and pick you up and drive you somewhere, and nobody even sat in the driver's seat, once people realize that, then it's going to be game-changing. Like, it's going to be game over.
I think that Tesla definitely wants to be the first one to the finish line. But let's pretend that there isn't a finish line, and just imagine a world 10 years from now, 20 years from now, depending on how optimistic or pessimistic you are, a world where Tesla and other companies make level 5 fully autonomous software. And let's imagine that somehow our cars have become savvy enough where so long as you have a car that hardware-wise is compliant with X, whatever it is, 360-degree video, certain number of sensors, whatever it is. Imagine like software back in the day when, you know, you'd buy a game and it says it has to, you have to have a GeForce GTX 350 or something like that to be able to run it. I see a very real possibility, and the likelihood of everything remaining in a subscription world and no longer being in full self-driving being purchased. Because I see a competitive marketplace where multiple companies are making software to drive your car better and better. And I can imagine, you know, depending on how you slice and dice the package, you could have, you're a road tripper that drives from San Diego to LA every week or whatever. You need this specific type of the software versus you just drive to and from and maybe to the supermarket. You can afford the $75 a month autopilot or whatever. I imagine a world where there's a lot more technological software driven user experience that distinguishes automakers, to the point where, I mean, look around at internal combustion vehicles. When was the last time you saw something that blew you away that an ICE vehicle could do, as opposed to the last time you saw an electric vehicle do something that you were like, that's freaking crazy. That can do that? Like, what, you know, cause, I mean, I drive my Rivian and I'm like, their autopilot, their driver plus is not anywhere near as good as Tesla's. And that's just an objective, my opinion, but I feel like there's enough that you could substantiate that with actual evidence. But I do think that in 10 years from now, you have more and more of these companies that are able to kind of perfect aspects of autonomy. I think that it could be a completely competitive marketplace to the point where nobody wants to buy the software. You know, nobody wants, you know, even, you know, Adobe used to sell Photoshop. It used to sell the parts of the Creative Suite. Now you can only get them through a subscription. Everybody laments subscriptions, but it keeps companies producing software. It keeps blood cash flow flowing in to keep the competition alive, to provide better service or new services that your car can do or whatever. I just think that there's a lot more room for that we're not acknowledging. Like, everybody's seeing this first hump of getting over the level 5. It's like, yes, imagine how amazing the game will, how everything will change when we first put a man on the moon, or the first time that we have a transatlantic flight, or the first time we do the thing. It's like, yeah, that is amazing. But it's going to open up, I think, some really interesting markets that Tesla's already kind of leading the pack on as far as in-vehicle experience and the tie-in with their app and just hitting the ground running from there.
Totally.
Rant over.
It adds even more value to the consumer too. Like, we've heard the same story for years now that, oh, you could buy your Tesla and make $40,000 a year of it just going and driving people while you're at work, kind of thing.
Yeah.
But we'll see if that is actually like practicality. But then, if anything, it could raise the prices of some of these Teslas that have full self-driving capability for sure.
So let's pretend that, you know, the old Farside there's a Far Side comic where it's like phase one is all this math written all over the board like crazy, and there's step two, then a miracle happens, and then there's more math, and the two doctors are sitting there being like, I think we need more explanation on step two. This doesn't seem like it's enough. So imagine that we get past the whole level 5 autonomy, the car can drive anywhere a human can go. Realistically, there are places that humans don't know how to drive that are meant for human drivers. So adapting it at all circumstances to everything, I feel like you would wind up with a trained driving stack that's so bogged down with every type of environment it would need to drive through. I don't know if it would be efficient versus, you know, the company starting to make it piecemeal, like Tesla being like, you know what, we don't need LiDAR in our cars, but we do benefit in the next 5 years from doing LiDAR mapping of every neighborhood, or outsourcing it to another company and then ingesting that data into their models. And then every other full self-driving company would do the same. Then, you know, you don't have to buy all the software that can drive literally every centimeter of the United States. You just need the one that can handle consumer and residential roads. You just need the one that can handle interstate or this or that, or has a little bit more finesse to it. There's so much that opens up as soon as you get past that first hurdle of, oh, the car can drive itself. It's like, yeah, it can drive itself well enough that now we can really add purpose to it. And I think that that's where things will start to get really interesting. And Tesla's the first one there. So as George Hotz had said over at Comma AI, he's like, no, Tesla's going to win this. They're going to hit level 5 first. It's not a matter of if, but when, because Tesla has the data. The amount of data that it takes to train a car, we're seeing it right now with the Cybertruck. Didn't exist a year ago. Now it exists, and they're training it to be the same level of full self-driving as every other car. That's a capability software-wise. I'm imagining Chase can speak to it because I don't know software development quite as well. But I imagine that is a Herculean feat, being like, yeah, you know what? We entirely trained it for this new platform that didn't exist a year ago.
Some
we could do it with your car too next month or whatever, you know.
Yeah, imagine they could repeat that process for an F-150 or Toyota, whatever. I mean, like, yeah, they could easily kind of incorporate that, and then all you're really doing is just licensing out the software to other car companies that will then put it into cars going forward, really just to save on cost of adding in the hardware to all the used cars. But still, like, if you had a used car right now, you just go get the hardware installed, upfront cost, monthly subscription, and then you're driving yourself.
And I think that's a big reason why they wanted to pay Elon, right? Is because all of this AI, all of this technology, everything that he's working on is really the future of Tesla, right? It's a future of the industry, I think, right? It's just, and he's the leader, you know, in that. And so
he's been there since the beginning. His early, his documented past with Sam Altman at OpenAI, and as much as everybody is kind of taking this moment to realize that the level of compute power necessary to make some progress with what they're trying to do, now it's at their fingertips, and everybody's starting to spend that money. I mean, what was it? You know, Open AI said that they're going to start spending like $10 billion a quarter, and won't stop until they hit their goals or something absurd. And I'm like, that's the level of spending that everybody's now facing and trying to capture. I don't know. Everybody's kind of slapping the name AI on everything. Like, I remember cell phones used to piss me off, but I love them now. And one of the things that I remember is that how many brands were so eager to call themselves 3G. Everybody called themselves 3G. AT&T claimed to have the first 3G in America or something. And then they got sued, and they just meant, no, sorry. I mean, 3G was more of a trademark thing. It wasn't like actually that kind of capability. So I think that everybody keeps slapping AI on things when it's like, no. AI is something very different. It fools a human into thinking it's a human, that they're talking to a human. That's your baseline AI. So I've always said autonomous driving to be AI level, it should pass a vehicular Turing test. A passenger should not know whether a human in the front seat is driving or the car is driving. It should be that flawless. And when it hits that point, it's going to be incredible. We are nowhere near that point. And the fact that everybody keeps slapping AI on things, I think is just that 3G trick where they're trying to be like, look how forward we are with technology. Look how cutting edge we are. When actuality, just call it what it is. Like, you guys are getting so much better at, you know, generative programming language learning model or large learning model, whatever. All this generative technology that just uses machine learning to get as good as it can the way that it knows how, which is through trial and failure and success and promoting whatever. So you hit a certain point, but it's like, everybody's just calling it AI. I just think that Elon is one of those people who's had his head in that space for long enough. So it's like, you should probably let him see if he can cook, you know, see what comes next.
Well, I apologize for using AI. I didn't know it was a trigger
How
word.
Fucking dare you? And let me tell you some more about Cocaine Bear, okay? Cocaine Bear was the best movie. It's
hey, there's a lot of people in here watching, and I don't think any of them heard your rant on Cocaine Bear begin the show. So anybody who's listening right now, when I upload this tomorrow, go back and listen to the first 5 minutes or so.
Yes. Just go rent Cocaine Bear and then just, jump back in. You're fine.
Yeah. So
I do think we're actually kind of in that kind of Model T transition era that we're seeing happen, especially with AI and driving. Because it's like that was a huge thing that, not much more than 100 years ago, we had the Model T first mass-produced vehicle on the road. Now, 100 years later, now we're looking at the possibility of these cars can just drive themselves, where I was thinking about it, too. Driving around and trying to envision what full self-driving is doing now and what it could do. And really it's like the hardest thing I think is anticipating and predicting what other drivers are going to do. That's the one thing that I think is the most difficult, because it's the human factor. Like, it's the X factor that full self-driving will never get to be a 100% perfect, but it'll get to, 99.99 whatever until they can remove factor X, which is the human factor. And that's eventually the future that we're looking at.
And I think that's the reason why so many hate Tesla or EVs and all that, is because look how there's talks of passing laws where humans can no longer operate a vehicle, and they're going to allow this full self-driving. I'm not going to use AI, but they're going to allow the cars to drive themselves because of what you just said. Now, if there's no humans driving, you eliminated what you just stated, right? You got rid of the human error.
I was just to jump in on it. So there's a video from about 10 years ago. I used to love watching this guy on YouTube, CGP Grey. He does a podcast. He does a bunch of different stuff. Brilliant, brilliant guy. And he did an episode called Humans Need Not Apply. And it's like a 40 minute long video or something pretty healthy. And he talks about the future of automation and the impact it'll have on jobs and all of those sorts of things. And I think that he said automated driving, level 5 autonomy, automated driving is effectively... It's a pretty easy bar to clear. And I think the words from his video is, robots don't have to be perfect. They just have to be better than humans. And humans are pretty lousy when it comes to driving. And so clearing that hurdle, I think, isn't the only thing that I would say is that so much safety can be made up in the gap of simply having a more attentive vehicle to the point where it reacts quicker than any human would be expected to react, and therefore be safer than a car trying to anticipate what it sees happening. I mean, obviously it'll have some in anticipation programming into it where it's going to say, okay, I see that car swerving. I should probably be aware. That looks like a danger. I'll slow down. I have a set rule of things to check off. Oh, it just crossed three lanes in 5 seconds. I'm definitely going to apply the brakes and back off. But I mean, the fact is these cars have 8 eyes. They're eventually going to have more proximity sensors and more capability. They're going to have memorized the surroundings. I mean, somebody's going to, they're going to end up eating the words of the old, oh, well, we don't need 3D mapping. Yeah, you don't need it, but why would it, shouldn't it benefit you to have it, having more safety features, having all those things, to the point where it knows the environment. It knows that there's a little turn off right up here And the car can be like, oh, if something goes haywire here, I can definitely apply emergency brake and bail right, and I'm safe. The car can do so much better because nobody driving a car is only driving a car. They're remembering the fight they had last night. They're remembering, you know, the kid's birthday's next week, and they don't know what to do for them. There's so many distractions. There's zero perfect drivers on the road, but a car with eight eyes and some sense of surrounding will immediately outperform any human. And that reaction time goes from sizable buffer, whatever, it'll only get better and better and better, you know, to the point where it'll be capable of driving better than you, and chances are yell at you if you're trying to drive the car the whole time. And then eventually be like, never mind, I'm going to do it. Fuck you. You know?
Yeah. Because those wrecks are, I mean, statistics at that point. It's like, there is a possibility. You're not going to eliminate that possibility of something going wrong. But I think the idea is that you're increasing your odds in the chance that that possibility is a reality. That you're mm-hmm. going to come out better than if you reacted yourself.
I think yeah. Like you because said. You will always be distracted. You're human. You've always got a thought in your head. Versus the robot car, which literally has nothing else to think about except your morning drive.
You're starting to sound like my wife, Will. I'm not distracted, sorry. Okay? It's just a cool billboard. That's all. So Mark Longoria makes a good point, and it's something that I've thought about, right? When they talk about this robo-taxi and you're able to allow your vehicle to go out there and kind of make you some passive income. He goes, the big problem with using your car as a robotaxi is that far too many people are a-holes who will make a yep. mess in your interior, which is true, right? I mean, if you think about it, I mean, every time I take an Uber, one of the conversations I have with them is always like, oh, so how do you like doing Uber? And, you know, they'll tell me these horror stories of things that have happened, and that's them, that's with them in the vehicle. Imagine if mm-hmm. they weren't in the vehicle. So that's where... Yeah, I just don't know if I could ever do that. I mean, you guys know I wouldn't even put my car, my Cybertruck on Turo. So,
yeah.
You know,
I'll put this out there. So all three of us, we've ridden a ride share of some kind. We've taken an Uber or a Lyft somewhere. Have all of us taken one with somebody in our party in the vehicle having thrown up in the car or close enough that it's like a concern?
Yes.
That's two of us. That's already 67%. You know, those cars, the idea is, well, it's not mine. It's a cab. You know, I'm taking it literally because I'm too shit-faced to drive home or whatever. And if you're going to do it in a Tesla RoboCab, I mean, you know, that's going to be a danger that they
face. Imagine your car coming back to you at the end of the night and you're like, man, this thing just made me $200 or whatever the case is. And you go to your car and you just smell something.
Now you gotta spend $300 to get it detailed.
Yeah. So I mean, we'll find out, right? We'll see how that all goes. But because Will was going on his little rant again, Mark Longoria is in there talking about rent Cocaine Bear, get a six pack and a pizza and chill. So
yeah, buddy, now we're talking. Seriously, it's probably the best like 2 hours of your life. It'll heal your soul in ways that like church when you were little might have. I don't know you guys, but you know, it's amazing.
Moving on from Cocaine Bear.
We will never move on from Cocaine.
Tesla put an image up during their shareholder meetings with their full lineup. So you have the Model 3, you have the Model S, mm-hmm. you have the X, Y, Semi, Cybertruck, and three mysterious vehicles that are covered. You guys want to speculate?
I put out one that I don't think anybody has reciprocated just yet, because I think everyone's so excited for a van, which obviously Tesla Fudker even just said there. But mm-hmm. I think that might be like robo-taxi related, because I do think that the Roadster is one. And
yeah, I thought the
Model 2, like the more affordable Model 3, is going to be the other one. And then I would think the Robotaxi. Because otherwise, it looks like they left out the Robotaxi. Because like the two covered up on either side on the top row, those mm-hmm. are the exact same image.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so it's just an estimate.
Yeah, definitely the same image, like the same drape, everything. You could zoom in on them. Yeah.
I I know I've mentioned this in the past. I have no basis for my opinion, other than I just don't think that Roadster's ever going to come out. I think they made some, obviously, for Elon to drive or whoever, Kimball. But
okay.
I don't think they're ever going to be given to a customer. I don't think a customer will ever own a Roadster. That's just my personal opinion. I've said it many times. I mean, you're talking about a $250,000, $300,000, and that was back then. With the inflation now, what is that car going to cost?
Yeah.
And they're going to give how many away for free? Well, because of the referral program?
Let's not fall victim to the possibility that it's like the expectation is inflation versus improvement in technology reducing cost. Well, so I had actually thought about being like $200,000 for a car is not my I can't play at that table. That's just not for me. But imagine if the specs that they showed off for the Roadster, because we're all sitting here marveling at the Model 3 performance capability versus its cost. Imagine if they came back and they said, hey guys, by the way, we took another look at the Roadster and we knocked like $100,000 off the price by doing this and this.
$200,000.
Just get it down into that ballpark range of being like, you know, we haven't made anything in the luxury segment in a while.
They priced that at $150,000. I promise you, that thing is going to sell. That would be the number one selling car.
And imagine if that was the hundred, if that Roadster, that newest one, if it was 150 for like their absolute top of the line. I'm talking with the SpaceX rockets and everything that can, you know, just absolutely just make you into a puddle when you hit a wall. But it'll be glorious, if you know, whatever.
I just don't see that. I've told many, many people. I just don't think that car. I think they got overly excited with that referral program and it backfired. I don't think they ever thought people were going to get multiple free Roadsters. And there's people out there that have multiple free Roadsters in their queue, in their account, if they log into their account. And I just don't think it's going to happen. I really don't. I don't see how they can sit there and go,
we're still going.
What would the backlash be? Okay? If they sit there and go,
we'll find time to play, I promise.
If they sit there and go, okay, we're now producing, but all of you guys who are getting a free one, you need to wait 2 years. This is going to be people are going to freak out. So it's almost like they need to start giving those people some, right? Hey, we're giving this guy his and this guy his. And I don't know. I just don't think that no business in the world would ever, that's not good business. But at the same time, I understand they did a referral, so I get it all. But it just,
I don't think that it's impossible. I mean, I it's very cloudy to see it get all the way through. But I don't think it's impossible. The possibility, because they went through the process of getting the Model S and Model X manufacturing up and going, and they did a great job, you know, tackling those scales, and then getting into the Model 3 and scaling way up from there. With the Model 3 and Model Y, and now they're doing beautifully with the Cybertruck. It's like they don't. If the Roadster is admitted to not be a mass production vehicle, it's not supposed to be a Model 3 contender, or even necessarily a Model S and X. Then it's possible that they could just be like, you know what, we've done so well with all these other vehicles and the future super bright that we're just going to do small runs of the Roadster. That's why you have to put in the reservation in advance. That's why, you know, you have to wait your turn or whatever, and then include the influencers into that process, kind of like the way that the Cybertruck early releases were in the first month or two before they really started kind of trickling out. Because I think that there's still that desire for them to just, you know, I still love Elon's comment about the Roadster 2 being like, it's just a hardcore smackdown for every gas-powered vehicle that wishes it could have the kind of handling and acceleration that they can put into an electric vehicle. I think that it's not something that they're going to produce at scale. It'll be a toy, but it'll be an expensive toy. But I don't think that there's something really stopping them from, if they hit like $120,000 to $150,000 price point, and they only guaranteed, they're like, guys, this is such a low numbers per year vehicle. If you want one, you're going to have to give us $50,000 and wait possibly 2-3 years, just like they did in the beginning with this. And if they set that kind of expectation, then maybe they get a heck of a lot of sales, and then we just see these things zipping around everywhere.
Chris Crosby's in the chat, and he makes a good point. He says, good points about Roadster, but imagine the epic content and free advertising even with the referral Roadsters. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is true, right? It's going to be a really highly anticipated vehicle. It's a beautiful vehicle. It's so, you know, gorgeous. And so, yes, these influencers who earned their free referral Roadsters, you give them a Roadster, they're going to advertise it like crazy. So yes, from an advertising standpoint, yeah, maybe they can justify some of it, but how can you give two? So right here, I put up on the screen, Andy Sly, who has a YouTube channel, and right here, here's his X account. I mean, he took a picture, when was this? On May 29th, and he's showing that he has two Roadsters, Founders Series Tesla Roadsters referral awards. He has two of them in his account. And he's asking, you know, what do you guys think about the Tesla Roadster 2 coming next year or never happening? He's even posing that question because, you know, is it going to ever happen?
I think they've definitely, a lot of people are hitting a lot of fatigue points when it comes to Tesla and the stuff that they thought over the last 6 years was going to be coming sooner. Like, you know, we've all driven a vehicle that we thought would be coming by 2021 and then by 2022 and then, you know. Here we are at the beginning of 2024 that they're actually on the road. So, this is kind of the thing that I want to see. It's like, with the shareholder vote and maybe some indication, like, you know, 6 months ago, I know none of us had ever seen those photos from the shareholder deck indicating that they have in the pipeline three other concepts. Now, let's just say two of them are Roadster and Robotaxi / Model 2. There's still at least another vehicle in there that we haven't heard anything about. We have no awareness of whatsoever, right? Like what it looks like a van or it looks like a delivery vehicle or whatever. These are the things where I'm like, this is what got me into Tesla. Because it was always a one more thing. You know, it was the Steve Jobs one more thing that was stellar. And that was exactly what they did the year with the semi. They're like, you know, here's the semi. Oh yeah, by the way, we made this kick-ass Roadster. Here's a bunch of other stuff. Look, they're awesome. Go enjoy or whatever. And that's what we've all been missing. Tesla normally comes out and they're like, hey, here's a crazy car with Falcon Wing doors. None of you asked for it, but we've made one. Here it is. Enjoy. I want to see that Tesla again. I want to see them be like, look, the car was fast, but it wasn't fast enough. So we put a bunch of cold gas thrusters on the back. So now it can do 0 to 60 in about, 0.4 seconds. So enjoy. I want to see them do stuff like that because they're the only ones doing stuff like that. Yeah. I loved it. So I want to believe that though everybody is hitting that fatigue point, I really want to believe that maybe not in a year, but at some point soon, there will be a meaningful, hey guys, by the way, remember that Roadster thing? We got something for you.
Good point about the semi, because they did actually low-key dropped that semi is going into full production or is approved for full production. So that's good.
Yeah,
and I mean, they even mentioned a factory, right?
Yeah,
a factory
just for that,
just for the semi. I mean, because the semi, I think, would be a big mover for them. Just, I mean, for businesses, I think that a lot of people would love it because the amount of gas that those truckers are using and going through, I mean, it's costly. It's very expensive.
Just remember, the gas is something that they've dealt with for so long. It's almost priced in at this point. Think about the efficiency difference. You know, those trucks all have to go somewhere to gas up. All of these early Tesla semis, I mean, they're being set up in places where they can do the mega chargers at one factory or at the other so that their vehicles are constantly refueling while unloading or loading. Mm-hmm. Like that's gotta trim up their logistics planning, their insurance number for the amount of miles that they're driving. It all adds up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's the kind of innovation that it's like, yes, that's cool. It's not necessarily meant for long haul cross country or whatever, but those little routes that need to haul a lot of stuff, that sounds perfect.
It's not sexy, but it's necessary.
Okay. If it makes the money, it'll be sexy. It'll be plenty sexy for those shareholders.
Yes, for them. I'm talking about from a consumer standpoint, right? The public. It's not sexy for them. It's not the Roadster, but it's a very good item. So Chris Crosby has some more that he wants to talk about.
He says, saying Chris Crosby. I keep thinking you say crisscross. I'm like, Chris.
Yeah. I apologize.
Mac Daddy makes me want to jump, jump.
Yeah. Well, now we're doing karaoke.
Will, don't do that ever.
Now, you could do whatever you want. I'm staying away for you. I said AI, and it set you off. So, Crosby says, maybe many of those people use their credits for Plaid or Cybertruck first, talking about the Roadster. He also talks about or mentions, I think Plaid and Cybertruck tech is actually all leading up to the Roadster, steer-by-wire, single wiper, and the 4680 battery cells.
I think that's a good point.
My speculation is that we'll probably see the Roadster at least get officially announced with, like, hey, this is what is going to production next year sometime. That's just my hunch. But yeah, I think steer-by-wire is a good point to bring up about that. It's like,
yeah.
I think that they would be doing a disservice if they didn't start to try to factor in steer-by-wire into the rest of the fleet, because it's so much better.
I wish I had it on my Rivian. Every vehicle I get in behind now, my wife's Y, I'm like, God, I wish I had steer-by-wire. It's just so nice. It's such a great feature.
I've said it many, many times. It's something that needs to be the norm.
Mm-hmm. I think this will push it to be. Because the amount of wiring and everything that's necessary dropping, just there's so many on tech sheet benefits that it's worth a look at.
Yep. And then I wanted to talk about right here. I got to watch how I word this, but the Optimus robots. I don't want to say AI, but the Optimus robots.
Watch
I mean, think about it. You get an Optimus robot and you can sit down, get a six pack of beer, some pizza. Optimus isn't taking any of that, and you watch Cocaine Bear. So now you're good, right?
Hell yeah.
And you have a buddy to enjoy the film with you.
You're like, Optimus, bring me another episode. Bring me another beer. I'm watching Cocaine Bear.
Yeah. So Elon,
or the sequel, Cocaine Beer.
Cocaine Optimus. But so Elon mentioned that he's predicting that they're going to have approximately 1,000 robots, Optimus robots, working at their factories next year. Do you guys think that's an actual possibility?
Right. I think the devil's in the details. That thing could just be sorting cans for the vending machines, and they could say, hey, it's working at the... factory. I want to know what he has in mind for it. And I mean, if it's just setting it up to be a part of the tooling process that normally has a human, but it gets double checked by another human anyway, then they could just be like, yeah, just let the freaking robot do it. Just, walk over there, drop the thing, and go put it back, and we'll double check it later or whatever.
I think that's going to be most of it. But what's kind of interesting is how we're talking about that they're building in, or it has the capability to, like, learn a task by watching. So that's going to be really big, because that's specifically if they want to go to mass market with this and convince other companies to buy, another 1,000 of these for their factory. So you've got to have that barrier to entry of, like, teaching it to do a certain thing has always been the thing in this kind of robotics. Because, like, we see it in manufacturing right now anyway. So, like, the big robotic arms that they're very much taught to do exactly the one thing over and over again, and that's all they do correctly. But if you can have something that could dynamically learn what processes and things to do, and bipedal, and can walk around and carry shit, then that's game changing. If it's true.
Did you guys see how it can fold clothes? That's what I'm excited about. Okay, I hate folding laundry.
I hate folding clothes too. Yeah.
So when I heard that this thing, and then you can rent them. They're talking about having a rental service, where you can rent Optimus. And obviously, they're not stating exactly how that would all work, the infrastructure behind that. But they're talking about there's some type of rental with the Optimus, or maybe you have it come once a week, once a month, whatever the case is, and doing different tasks around your home.
The lawn, there's so many things.
And it goes back to that subscription take that Will had, right?
I mean, Everybody loves it. Like the amount of revenue you made on a balance sheet doesn't thrill investors anymore. It's like, yeah, great. I want to know how much money you're going to keep making. So everything's about subscriptions now. But I will say this, though. So I saw one of those Boston Dynamics robots that's apparently got a flamethrower mounted on its back. And its whole purpose in life is to go and like do pre-burns on forests to try to, you know, kill some of the overgrowth or the brush or whatever. And I'm like, there's Optimus's next advertising. I've seen the Boston Dynamics dog with a flamethrower. I want to see Optimus holding not a flamethrower and just being like, you know, like, I'm ready for Texas in July. Let's do this.
Well, and he was kind of alluding that everyone would have one, like in the other day. Like,
yeah.
The market value there is, what, like $10 trillion, what they were saying or something? I forget what the number of value was. It was like, because of how many, you know, how many billions of people there are in the world, if everyone had one, then that's obviously a huge market for that. But
yeah.
I don't know. It'd be interesting to see if we can see this feature the next 20 years maybe. But having, you know, you're like your own robot servant that does stuff around the mm-hmm. house.
Just remember that, like, so much technology, it's like there's the invention part of it and then there's the utility part of it. And a lot of inventions, great, you know, thankfully there's an overlap in that time where it's like it's invented and it has a purpose already that it's purpose built, it's perfect for. But so much other technology kind of needs time to be out there for somebody to be like, hey, you know what, we should add this to do this or whatever. Then it starts opening eyes and people being like, oh, there's a lot of opportunity here. There's, you know, we should build one, get some competition going. And then it goes right back to what I was saying about the full self-driving software. It's like, that's where you want, I want the competition. Everybody has an Optimus, but the newest software that you pay more for or whatever, it can fold laundry while also putting away clothes and doing some other stuff. Like, there's just more cool stuff in the future.
Bullet point number two right there is if they could build them for 10,000 and sell them for 20. He did specifically say that, yeah, it should be about the price of a car or $20,000, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. you know, would be pretty affordable considering, you know, most of the country, I feel like, could do that if it meant, like, you know, it's much cheaper than not a nanny, but like whatever house help that you could be hiring. You know?
That's exactly the comparison that they would need to make, because Tesla's already done it where they're like, okay, you know, you buy our car, here's how much money in gas savings you'll make of the next 4 years. Here's how much you'll save doing this or that. Versus, yeah, with Optimus, it's like the average person spends 2 hours or, you know, 3 or 4 hours a month mowing their lawn. Optimus can be taught to mow your lawn. But, and people will be like, oh, there's an autonomous lawnmower. But it's like, yeah, but this one can mow your lawn with the lawnmower you already have, and then also go inside and unload the dishes. And then also go upstairs and put your laundry away. And this is all while you're at work. You don't need to be there babysitting it. So how much time productivity of your life are you recovering, and how do you financialize mm-hmm. that? Once they figure it out, that then becomes a good sell for people.
Right. The problem is how do they advertise that without making it look like a Black Mirror episode?
Well, we have Mark in the chat talking about Optimus, and he brings up Ex Machina.
Turing test. Can it convince somebody that it's real?
Yeah.
They
talked about it being able to learn, right? The only thing I would want to teach it, and this is all it needs to do, and it's worth the $20,000 potentially, is I would teach it how to scare my wife.
Yeah. Like ninja scare your wife.
Just lurking around corners.
Yeah.
You know, just all these the different, because she gets scared for everything. And so I would just, that to me, and if it had a camera where it can record as she's, you know, her facial expressions when she's getting scared, then I would just, you know, that'd be entertainment.
It'd be like Aliens. It'd be like Optimus is in the ceiling. I was in the ceiling. You know.
But it raises a great question of like the rails that they would have to employ with this thing would have to be super secure, because if someone could hack it and then teach it to do literally anything, then we have the robots taking over. So it's like they would have to figure out that problem.
We would have to have Isaac's rules of robotics all over again, but for a new world. I will say this, as far as the Black Mirror episode, I never really got into that show because it always seemed to take the demonizing side of technology. When it's like at its most base level, I'm always like, this is a TV show that people can watch because of technology. Like, it's on Netflix. It exists entirely because of all the technology that has brought that show to people's houses. But then it also kind of makes this weird dystopian argument against all of it. And I'm like, all right, well, do you have something else to say for it? Or is it just the usual, the sky is falling because we don't know how computers work? So, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I've dealt with that shit my whole life, and it just is so annoying.
And well, Netflix,
ironically, we had, go ahead.
Another subscription.
It's true. I was going to say there's also
a
recent film on Netflix about
Cocaine Bear is on Netflix right now. Go watch it. And actually, yeah, Mark, what Mark said earlier about, you know, like he was bringing up Ex Machina, I was like, you're right. You're right. So who's going to be the first person to Foptimus?
I don't know.
Someone's going to try.
I can name some people.
Is that a module that you installed? Do you have accessories? Are they dishwasher safe? Like, what, you know, I need to know the future roadmap. That's Elon, answer. I'm going to go tweet him right now and be like, Elon, tell us the truth. Is Optimus fuckable?
Well, if anything, we've noticed is that I think sex and pornography drives most all technology anyways. So
yes,
eventually when we get to that point, then we should be concerned.
Oh, then people will be buying them for 50,000, 100,000. I think
that the single largest driver of most server technology, internet technology, and everything from the early 2000s prior to Amazon coming onto the scene, it was all driven by porn. It all has all of its existence to thank for porn. Like Dilbert even acknowledged it in one of the cartoons. They were like, yeah, it's literally like the most popular, like the number one thing you do on the internet is porn. It drives the most traffic. So
yep.
Respect.
Yep. Well, I think, was there anything I missed from the Tesla shareholders?
We covered everything from Cocaine Bear to robots. Like, what else do we need to cover this week, man? We made up for last week. Sorry.
You're welcome,
it gets a little
everybody.
Wilder. So, you know, in the very beginning, we had like the people talking about like pros and cons of like the Elon vote, and then they also had all these propositions that they went through that they also had a vote on. And this is kind of where it started getting off the rails. Like one was about like investigating EMF waves that are coming off of Teslas to make sure that they're like safe for kids and all this other stuff. And it's like, okay, we kind of got a little weird. And then they're also like talking about like how we need to like go and investigate like the sea floor because that's more important than Mars. And I'm like, okay, this is getting interesting. And then it was like, it wasn't one of the proposals. It was someone asked a question. They're like, I know you like talk to Trump, right? And they're like, you're like admitting that like, oh yeah. They just like chat once in a while. He'll call them up.
Apparently Trump is a big Tesla and Cybertruck fan.
Which is funny. Yeah. That kind of flipped over time, but yeah. So those are kind of the wackier moments. And I'm like, I definitely made sure to make a note of.
Well, I'm sure that flipped because Elon's giving him a lot of money. So
there you go.
Yeah.
I did mention earlier about the incorporation, but that did actually go through. So they're moving from Delaware to Texas. So that is official.
They're officially a Texas corporation.
I think that's pretty much it. Literally, my notes were my tweets.
There you go. That's one way to do it.
I was going through, I was just like tweeting about like the like making jokes about things that are happening before I went to leave it.
I think that's everything from last week from the shareholder meeting. I did want to show you guys one thing, show the audience one thing, because we're not just Cybertruck, right? I am in love with the Cadillac Escalade IQ EV. And they're saying that it's going to have an estimated 460 miles of range, which is huge battery pack, though. 215 kilowatt hour battery. That's what you need for a heavy vehicle to get that much range.
Remind me,
it's a lot of battery.
Did GM get incorporated into the off-brand charging capability on the Tesla superchargers?
So from what I understand, I know that the Lyriq, starting in 2025, all Cadillac Lyriq EVs will have the NACS.
Okay.
So I'm assuming.
I would assume, yeah.
That the Escalade will as well. If you look at the port in the back, it's a little larger than it needs to be for NACS, but that's just a picture, right? So.
What?
That's like the dumbest position for a charger.
Yeah.
You know, like back left. I'm like, so you're parallel parked. You can't charge if you're up against a curb. You have to back into a space to put it closer to the charge. It's just, and if it's for a Tesla, it works now, but.
Yeah. I don't know. I just think
I never liked
that
about the Teslas.
It's a good looking SUV, but I still kind of laugh at the fact that they basically just take an ICE vehicle body and mm-hmm. then they just swap everything out. So then you get these like massive frunks.
Yeah.
It's just like it's just a massive space, but it's also a waste of space. Like it's like a big chunk of.
Didn't you see that massive monitor? Look at that bad boy.
Yeah, all the electronics for that thing is going.
You can watch like a movie if it was shot in like aspect ratio of like 16:1.
It's funny that you mentioned that, Chase, because when I was at the Electrify Expo a few weeks back, we were going around looking at different cars, and I was actually there. I made a new buddy, and he was a Rivian R1T owner. And so we were just talking about the trucks, and when there was a Ford Lightning there, and he mentioned to me how the reason why he doesn't like the Ford Lightning and the reason why he didn't consider getting the Ford Lightning before taking delivery of his Rivian was the fact that it's essentially just a conversion.
Yeah.
It's the Ford F-150, and they just convert it to EV. And he was even showing, like, down below underneath how there's just all this stuff down there. And he goes, you can't – I mean, obviously, you could lift it or you could do different things. But he goes, I off-road, and I want to go off-roading, and there's all this junk underneath this truck, you know. And he goes, it's just a conversion. They did not – it's not like a Rivian. It's not like a Tesla. It's not built to be an EV. This body was built to be an ICE vehicle that they converted over to an EV. So,
Lightning is a perfect example of that, because F-150s are already difficult to fit in a garage. Like, why are you making it just as difficult for no trade-off except for a large frunk?
Mm-hmm.
Like, change the body up, change the design, think about it differently. I don't know. Maybe they're too worried about.
They don't want to upset their fan base.
Yeah.
Here's where maybe my I don't know. I wear it proudly. This is probably one of my autistic traits, is my fascination with structure when it comes to utility. And it's like, we live in a world where we haven't seen a passenger aircraft change its shape. It's a torpedo with wings. It's got engines underslung, possibly three, possibly four or more. But it's always the same shape, and so we're always confined by the same thing. You have to walk in, there's a center aisle, you cram yourself like sardines into a bunch of rows for the worst experience of your life, and then, you know, 8 hours, it's over. And when it comes to these vehicles, I'm like, this is why I loved the Cybertruck when I first saw the pitch for it. I'm like, the thing is so iconically specific looking that I'm like, okay, what else is there? And sure enough, they're like, oh, yeah, and we also reduced the wiring. We went to 48 volts. We steer by wire. We do this. We do that. We do this. So it's like there's technology changes along with this huge banner that says we're something different. We're rethinking this stuff. And then and my hatred for EVs before Tesla, what drove me to Tesla, is the fact that all these other fuel-efficient vehicles or EVs, they all look like roller skates. Or something they didn't want you to buy. Tesla made a car that looked like something you wanted to drive. You wanted to own it, drive it, live it. It looked awesome. It looked so different than every other roller skate of an electric vehicle that was out there. And now seeing these other brands, I see this misunderstanding, I think, a fundamental misunderstanding of their consumers again, being like, hey, we're going to make a car that looks like a psychotic ultra luxury vehicle. Like this thing looks rare. It looks like it belongs to like a Bolivian coke lord, or God only knows who. Cocaine Bear. Go check it out. So the car.
I knew he was going to do that.
So, it's like when I see those cars, I'm like, yeah, they look very flashy. They remind me of the BMW i8 when I first saw that electric. And I'm like, it looks like a bunch of extra paneling. It didn't look like, and now I'm seeing this thing and I'm like, it's got, and they're like, guys, it has 215 kilowatt hours of battery. And then I'm like, yeah, but it only has 400 miles of range. Like,
yeah,
the Rivian's
it's not efficient.
The Rivian R2 the refreshed R1s are going to have upwards of 400 miles, and they have like 90 kilowatt hours less battery in them. It's like nobody's impressed with the excessive unless you've got some specs to back it up. And so seeing this car, I'm like, when I was in Florida, I drove by one of my sister's neighbors had the Hummer EV. And I'm looking at that thing, I'm like, my God, that thing is just enormous and it's expensive. And all I know about it is that it's a Hummer. So I just know it's big and expensive. That's all. I don't know any crazy specs. Does it have Wade mode? Does it, you know, does it do anything incredible or out of the box? Like, outside the box thinking. I don't know. I mean, it just seems like another boring car. So you show me this car, and I'm like, okay, it's got a lot of cool flashing scene. And then I joke about the monitor. It's got this huge panel. Like, that's what these kids want. They want to watch Netflix on 8 different screens in the front seat. And it's like, no, man. They want to see that you understood that everything else that's come before is boring. Make something new on the interior. Like it's such a stupid thing. I genuinely loved and miss the glove box on the Cybertruck. Because you hit the thing and it's just a little drawer just pops right out to you. And I'm like, they could have cheaped out. There's literally nothing stopping them from just making a, you know, your boring ass old glove box. But they went somewhere with some of the interior that I'm like, this is cool stuff. And then I see the inside. I'm like, it's huge screens. And I'm like, okay, great. What am I going to set the AC on 8 different spots on the screen here? Like, what is the point of this? AI sucks there.
Yeah, I was gonna say, okay, don't bring up massive screens. Don't bring up AI.
I'm not opposed to massive screens. I'm not opposed to claiming AI, but it's like you better have something that more than just slapping the name on it. And that vehicle you just put up, I'm like, yeah, okay, you can tell me it's an EV, and I'll believe you. What else about it should make me give a shit?
Yeah, which I didn't realize when you first showed it that the price point's at $130,000 starting. Which is obviously it's crazy, but it's interesting because I think Cadillac has been doing this at least well in the last like 10 years of like focusing on luxury vehicles that they know people are not going to drive. So like someone is buying this because they have a driver that's going to drive it for them.
I was just going to say the Kardashians, Will's girl is going to get this.
Exactly. Is it the better experience is in the back where you have all the, you know, the fancy screens and whatever you want.
Yeah, but, like a passenger experience. Yeah, that's great.
But my question is, when are we going to start, assuming everything we just talked about with full self-driving keeps progressing forward, when are we going to start seeing these cars stop thinking about, you know, human driver first and human driver secondary? What does the car experience look like when you don't have to drive the entire time and maybe only take over if you have to?
Then you're going to want that massive screen.
Yeah, you're going to want the 16:1 screen so you can watch everything you can and then not try.
So real quick.
Mark Longoria is in chat. Sorry, Will, cut you off, but you're going to want to hear this.
Oh, good. Okay.
Okay. He says, they have massive screens so you can watch Cocaine Bear.
I know my audience. I know my audience. Yeah, but if you can watch it on that many screens, be like, I'm gonna go into a Cadillac dealership and be like, how many of these screens can I watch Cocaine Bear on? You need to tell me right now. No, they I was hang on, I lost the thought, but I got, it'll come back.
I apologize for interrupting you.
Oh yeah, no, sorry. Okay, so that's like one of those things where talking about aircraft, you know, they're always like the same cars. It's always the same experience. There is a part of me where I'm kind of like, okay, we designed, like, back in the beginning, the people who first, like, really, you know, were messing around with building cars, they were wrapped around the idea of, I mean, how else would a person get in a car? They're going to sit in the car. It's going to be a seat. And now I'm like, okay, but ergonomically, have we advanced to a place where we know that sitting isn't actually the safest orientation for a human to be in if you experience a major accident? Why aren't we looking at other abilities that, you know, if the car can drive itself, you know, then I should be able to recline into the safest possible position that's also the most comfortable ergonomically, you know, not sitting in a chair, resting on my tailbone, putting pressure, needing lumbar support, filling up my hips and my back versus something else. Rear facing is an option. It's like there's so many other things I want to see in the interior. And I remember seeing the Volkswagen, the ID Buzz. You know, they're reimagining of the old Volkswagen bus, and it had such cool interior because it's like the seats were captain chairs would swivel and move into positions and stuff. And there's more interior thought to the idea of what do you do in a bus? You play games, you have a meal, all that kind of stuff. And it's like, again, I'm like back to Cadillac, and you're like, all right, so you made a car that just had an EV underneath it. Like, I'm just so dying to start seeing some like actual breakaway thoughts on this. On the design of a car.
Well, we're going to see. We're going to see if they make any changes. Hopefully they're listening and they take all your points and they get rid of some of those screens and do something sexy with it.
So how many free Roadsters are you getting now, William?
Yeah. No, he's going to get a bunch of Cadillacs now.
Exactly. Cadillacs. Yeah.
And I can't even imagine the resale clause on the Roadster with that.
Oh, you can never sell it. 10 years.
Like, they're going to do anything about it.
Let's hope they don't, because otherwise...
My phone remains unrung.
Right. I want to show, because so many people talk about... Okay, quick little story. I went to Home Depot today in my Cybertruck. When I came out of Home Depot, I was coming out of the garden center, and there was two gentlemen walking past my Cybertruck, and as I was approaching my vehicle, I overheard the other guy telling... One guy telling the other guy, what is the purpose of that truck? So, keep that in mind. So now, this is going to be kind of the what were they thinking, but also just a funny little video. This is the purpose of the Cybertruck, okay?
Like the Beverly Hillbillies.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my gosh.
So
this is the one rack.
He's got a rack up there that he's lashed into. Okay.
Yeah, no, these guys are fully utilizing their Cybertruck. I think these guys also put out a video where they're unloading concrete bags. They have furniture. They got all kinds of things back there. They're using their Cybertruck. So
I promise you, we will make time to play Fortnite tonight.
You better
will.
Dad life.
Yeah. So
gotta show him cocaine bear.
Let's wrap this up because Will's got an appointment to go snipe some kids Fortnite in the face and yell at them on their mics. And,
I like that though.
They're gonna yell at him, be like, "Go watch my pain bear, loser."
Now I was struggling to figure out what I wanted to do for Wrap of the Week, but I think I have to go with the one that we talked about a few days ago.
Oh yeah.
So this is actually, and some people may think I'm crazy, I would never do it, but it's one of my favorite wraps I think I've seen on a Cybertruck.
There's only one valid response to this wrap. There's only one, and that is, she's a beaut, Clark.
Exactly.
But the level of detail, how they put Tesla right here in the grill. Mm-hmm. Right here on the side, you see, you know, the Cyber Squire. You know, it just... Tesla right here in the back. It's just well done, you know? Bravo. Mm-hmm.
The tail lights. Oh, I didn't realize the tail lights. Yeah. That's cool.
It's just everything.
Yeah.
I respect it. I would never do it, but I respect it.
What it does best is, like, it's art and design respecting art and design. Like, because you can even tell that they considered the entire, you know, the face of what they had, and also the ergonomics of the design of the truck. Like, even around the fender wells, they could have completely not done that, but they were wanting to go around it. Because
you're 100% right. It, like, to me, I look at this, and I think that's where I go bravo, right, is the fact that they actually sat there and designed this, took the time, and worked with the wrap shop, and this is what we're looking for, and it's extra time, right? And so I respect it, you know?
Oh, what's the hood ornament?
I was trying to figure that out as well. I can't.
There's any, like, higher res photos of what's on the hood.
I couldn't figure it out.
I don't know if this you can actually hear me like this.
No, you're good.
He muted it after it started playing.
Oh, it sounds like shit. All right, sorry.
It was a Holiday Road.
It was Holiday
Road. I figured. Based off of your mannerisms, I know exactly what's coming.
Well, see, I think Mark Longoria is Will's best friend. You guys need to hook up at some point and, like, grab a beer. Mark Longoria literally just put in the chat. He literally just put in the chat, play Holiday Road on loudspeaker.
Right? Mark knows what's up. Mark knows what's up. Hell yeah.
So, and then I'm going to just throw this one out there because this was the other one that I was kind of going to put as the wrap of the week. But do you guys see the police vehicle in Dubai?
Yeah. I mean, so,
you have that could have been one of our Cybertrucks, guys, when we had these people making us offers.
Yeah, it's an expensive
shipping ours overseas. That could have been one of ours. So.
They bought that off market. And
100%.
It's probably way overpaid.
Yeah.
And hopefully it's a beast. Because if it's not, then it kind of do a disservice.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what are you going to do?
Did you guys see the not the upload performance? What was it? Was it that one? There was another Model Y loadout. I do have it queued up. There's a Model Y loadout that was actually... here we go. Let's see the link. The only thing I thought that was interesting, they're kind of taking a note from the Cybertruck and adding bulletproof panels to the passenger and driver side doors that are basically mimicking the same damage structure as the Cybertruck. So it's not going to stop any rifle rounds, but it'll stop, you know, pistol rounds. And then they kind of basically like slapping it on to the outside of the door so that, say, if in a case that it gets compromised, they can just take it off and then put a new one on, which is, I think it's kind of cool because, like,
smart
bulletproofing has not been an easy thing or like a cost effective thing to do in police vehicles, but definitely I think is something that should be considered at this point.
Yeah, it is ironic that it's South Pasadena that does this.
Say anything.
Well, yeah, because I mean, I've lived in LA in Southern California for a while, and so's Eric, and I imagine that most of the gunfire exchange is coming from police vehicles, and so but it's bold of them to be safe. It's good. It's a good idea.
Yeah. I just love Dan, how he put in his thumbnail, how he puts the chalk with the body, outline there in his thumbnail.
Oh, I didn't realize
that. And exactly. That's either a child or a little person, because that is
the size of that. Doesn't fit.
Yeah, but, it's so tiny. But like South Pasadena, we just got a kid.
You know, Chase, you're not the only guy rubbing shoulders with celebrities. As a matter of fact, at the Electrify Expo, I was standing right next to Dan.
Heck yeah.
Didn't talk to him because he was in the middle of a conversation, but he was there. So,
like, I think the better thing, like, and I always think about this too, when I see someone I recognize, I try to act like I don't recognize them.
Yeah. You play see, cool, like, is what they're
try
saying.
Try to humble brag or like bring them down with a piece of humble pie, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. The only thing that reminded me of that is the Justin Timberlake mugshot from yesterday that popped up on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And supposedly the story was that the arresting officer didn't recognize him.
That's fine.
And he was like asking, like he said under his breath or whatever, something like, "Yo, this is gonna ruin the tour." And he's like, "What tour?" And he's like, "The world tour." And he still didn't realize who he was arresting.
What are you talking about? That was also JT trying to name drop without name dropping. You know what I mean? Like, do you know who I am? He's like, "Shucks, this is gonna ruin my world tour."
Yeah,
Mr. Officer. Like,
I think you'll find that you breaking the law is what's up your tour, asshole. Jesus Christ. I was talking to my wife about that earlier, being like, you know, these guys, like, they're at such a level of celebrity that it's like, he could have gotten someone to drive him somewhere. He probably had 10 drivers.
Okay,
he got in that car because he wanted to drive drunk.
So my sister, my younger sister, is a huge NSYNC fan and Justin Timberlake fan. And so when I saw the mugshot, I sent it to her, and I just go, what's going on? And she even said, she goes, "What an idiot. When you have that much money, take an Uber." You
exactly.
know, even that, if you don't have a driver, take an Uber.
Exactly. At the cheapest option. But no, I think that he was like, he was just like flaunting, be like, "What are they going to do?" Be like, "I don't know, arrest your ass."
I think that's what happens with a lot of these guys, their ego, right? But we don't need to get a, this is not, even though Will wants to convert it to a celebrity podcast, it is not a celebrity podcast.
Mm-hmm.
This is,
there aren't a lot of those. So,
yeah.
But let me ask you this. Do you think that he's seen Cocaine Bear?
He turned down the lead role for it. So
I'm sure there was a call. No.
But
a phone call at one point.
All right, guys, that's all. That's all we have for today. So appreciate everybody in chat: Jay, Mark, Hugo, who else? Chris, everybody. If I missed you, I'm sorry, but we appreciate you guys tuning in and supporting us every week. It really means a lot. So thank you so much, and we'll see you guys next week.
See you soon.
Later.